at age 91 and a bad back, it sure helps. But first of all, I want to extend my appreciation to the eldership here for the opportunity to speak to you this morning. As many of you may know, I started as a retired minister, but Calvin never retired, did we, brother? Just like old soldiers never die, they just fade away. But it's good to be here. I want you to know I love each and every one of you very much. This is a very strong congregation, and they speak the truth, cross all the T's and dot all the I's. And while you're here this morning, if you haven't met Brother Mike Smith, he's here from Georgia. He serves as an elder in the church. If you're ever close to Atlanta, well, go by there. They preach the truth. So this morning, I want to talk about something that's prevalent here in this nation, and that is the disregard for God, how people have left. And it's startling to look at stats that say and show the percentage of people that don't even attend church, and some do not recognize God. If you would, turn with me to Psalms chapter 10. And then from there, stay ahead of here a little, we'll sure you'll be turning. We'll be in Psalm 139 after that, and then Jeremiah, the first chapter. So that'll give you a little indication where we're going. But let's read together Psalms chapter 10 and verses 1 through 11. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. All his enemies, he snares at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. What a foolish statement. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places, he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies to wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. Verse 11, in my opinion, of course we know that each verse in God's word is powerful, but this is, it's hard to fathom this statement. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. What an awakening that individual will have. So we see here in the world that we live in today, we have this same situation. People have left God. They do not seek God. And for whatever reason, they seem to think that they're not going to be held accountable. In a little bit, we'll move over to the New Testament and look at some verses there. But for now, let's move over to Psalm 139, and let's look at verses 1 through 4. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my setting down and my rising up. You understand my tongue, or my thought, excuse me, afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. And are acquainted with what? With all. Look at that word all. All my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it all together. That's awesome, isn't it? That shows us the power of God. And why should it not be that way? When God spoke the universe into existence, that's power, isn't it? So man's fooling himself whenever he gets the idea or the notion that God will hide his face, God will not see. And then turn with me to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 1. And let's look at verses 4 and 5. And when I look at these two verses in Jeremiah, I think about abortion. This closes the case on abortion. And Brother Kyle spoke on abortion several weeks back. And did a wonderful job. Listen to what it said. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Behold, I formed you in the womb. I formed you in the womb. What? I knew you. Before you were born, sanctified you. I ordained you as a prophet to the nations. Then we live in the world and some have the audacity to believe that abortion is okay, that the fetus is not alive. Jeremiah proved that different, didn't he? So we see now that man will turn his face to God. But now we want to move over to the New Testament and make a few points here and point this out. And we talked about this person, said they were not going to face judgment or wouldn't be held accountable. Two or three verses let's look at in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. For we must all, there's that word all again, isn't it? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Folks, a judgment day is coming. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And we think of that. I think of Hebrews 9:27. Where it is said, it is appointed once for man to die, and then the judgment. You know, a lot of times when we look at a verse of Scripture, maybe we don't delve into it as deeply as we should. All, that word all, again, will appear before the judgment seat of God. Someone says, well, you know, who do you think will be there? What did we just say? Every person that ever breathed their breath on this planet, when that time comes, will be there. Adolf Hitler will be there. George Washington will be there. Sam Lyon will be there. And so will you. So we need not fool ourselves when we do that. And then we talk about, again, that God doesn't know man's thoughts. What about Ecclesiastes? Let's turn over there and look at a verse or two. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. I'll slow down just a little bit. I'll share this with you. A brethren told me a time or two there in Groom, you need to give us a little more time to get over to the verse. So I'll try to do that. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. Here is two of the most powerful verses in the entire Bible, Old or New Testament. Let us hear what? The conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. That says it all, does it not? So we see now what the world is like. We went over to the New Testament. We see now. We know that these things are going to happen. We know that we're going to face that judgment day. Are we going to be ready? Are we going to be ready? And we talk about speaking the truth. And I want to commend the brethren here. The truth is being preached. Thank you, Brother Kyle. It's been preached in its simplicity. The I's have been dotted and the T's crossed. And that's the way that it should be. So we've got the question to ask this morning. Are you ready to face that judgment day? Are you ready to do the will of God? Are you ready to obey that one and only true gospel? Let me mention that again. Sometimes I wonder if some of the ministers in our brotherhood, if we don't push that hard enough, we need to realize the one and only, what kind of gospel? True gospel. Let's see what Paul says in Galatians chapter 1 and look at verses 6 through 12. Paul's going to talk about the only one gospel. Now, I know that this is Paul's second missionary journey. How long it was between the first and second, I don't know. I've heard some say maybe a year and a half. I don't know. But I do know this. This is what Paul said. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a what? Different gospel. Let me pause a little bit. I do that when I'm reading a verse, and forgive me for it, but it's fresh on my mind. I want to make that point. They've turned to a different gospel. Now look, this is the Galatians. Paul had been there before and everything's okay. Then here he comes again. I'm astonished. You say, I'm astonished you're so soon removed. And then look what he says, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, Paul, it's being done in the year 2022. But even if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. And he says it again. And as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any gospel to you, then what we have received, let him be accursed. So do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. That's very plain, isn't it? It's very plain. And what saddens me, and I know that it does my fellow minister, Kyle, within the body of Christ, some profess as ministers, and yet they are perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us not ever forget there's only one true gospel. Then the closing question. What happens if one does not obey that one and only gospel? The answer, dear brethren, is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we'll look at verses 6 through 9. Beginning in verse 6. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on who? On those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, That's strong, isn't it? That's the answer. That's the answer. You know, a lot of times we fail to use common sense when we are studying God's word and when we're trying to analyze what's being said. Brethren, that's simple. We do not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're going to be lost. So with these things being said, and I try to hold this sermon down. I don't want to stand up here for 2 hours. I know you'll run me off for sure. But anyway, in conclusion, let me say this. I believe with all my heart and soul that here at Ocean Park Church of Christ, we do preach the truth. But any time we present God's word, we want to do what? We want to extend the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I don't know your heart. You don't know mine. But God does. So if anyone is subject to the invitation, if you haven't obeyed that gospel of Jesus Christ, and what does it take to be saved? What did it take to be saved in AD 33? The same today. God's word never changes. We're to hear his word, we're to believe, we're to repent, we're to confess, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, and we will be added, not voted, into the Lord's church. The lesson's yours.